All right, let's just go for it. Another day, another failed attempt at setting up my camera. Hi, if you're watching this, will probably be cut off in 25 seconds because I have run out of storage on every device that I own. And I currently just don't have the mental capacity to go into a store and buy new SIM cards and upgrade my storage plan on my phone. That's just a little bit about me. If you can't tell, I'm a little sad today. I am going to try not to cry. Whew, deep breath, deep breath. It's been a bit of a rough day. I had a full-blown panic attack earlier, and then that transpired into a comatose nap with my dog, like, right in my chest. It is so beautiful and amazing how dogs just know when you need them. They are such healing creatures. Then I woke up and I thought, better podcast, because I do have a really busy week next week. Dance is starting up, which is super exciting. I get to go to the studio 2 or 3 times a week and work with some awesome little kids and hopefully get to be a positive influence on them. And I think that will be good for my soul right now. Kind of just struggling with, to be quite honest, the same situation I've been struggling with for weeks now. I'm not going to go into details for the sake of privacy, but I was very hurt by someone and a situation that I had invested a lot of time and energy in didn't go very well. And now I am trying to take it as an opportunity to look within, heal, grow, try to realize, not that I think any of this was my fault, and I'm the first person, which we'll talk about today, I am the first person to admit when I have messed up, when I have gone too far, said the wrong thing, pushed someone away. Everybody has toxic traits. I talk about this on the podcast all the time. There's no one who's exempt from having little toxic habits. I mean, maybe if you've never been in a relationship before, then you go in with a complete clean slate. But for the most part, people have some damage and some trauma and some hangups that inevitably carry on into the next relationship. This little fern here, or maybe it's not a fern, but this little plant is just caressing me and giving me comfort. Nature and animals are what are saving my soul today, honestly. And my hair looks kind of cute too. Anyway, I got heartbroken. And that's really all I should say. That's all I really will say. Maybe down the line when it's a little less fresh, I will dig into it a little more and talk about like what I've learned. I have no issue. I have no issue throwing scum men under the bus, but it's just a little too fresh. It's a little too fresh. And I'm on the struggle bus, guys. And also, it just seems, well, it's also cuffing season, which is really unfortunate timing. It's getting cold and chilly. And I seem to be seeing couples everywhere. I don't know if this was always the case and I just wasn't as terribly lonely, so I wasn't noticing, but literally everywhere I go, I see cute couples walking around, holding hands, taking pictures, not to mention my social media. When you get in your mid-20s, you will be inundated with engagement posts, wedding posts, pregnancy posts, baby posts. I'm 26, and majority of the people I would say on my social media are probably between 20 to 30, but like a lot of them would fall in that same age range as me, like 25, 26, 27, because we went to school together or whatever. And these people are out here getting engaged and having babies, and I am not judging because, like, to each their own, everyone's journey and path is beautiful in its own way. When I was young, like 10, I would have thought, of course I'll have a baby by 25, 26. Like, I thought that that was ancient when I was younger. And now I truly feel like this is some cruel joke. Like, I am just 18 and I'm just a little baby and I don't want to pay taxes and do jury duty. It just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel like it's part of my journey. I don't really want to be an adult. I'm not claiming this. I didn't ask for this. But it's here. But it's just a bizarre time in life because me and all my close friends, like most of them are in relationships, but they are not engaged and not even, as far as I'm aware, like not really thinking about engagement or babies anytime soon. My sister obviously is a different story, but she's 4 years older than me. But there, yeah, it's slowly diverting into two separate pathways. The older you get into your 20s, you're either like, I'm single and drinking an entire bottle of wine myself tonight and watching a Jeffrey Dahmer Netflix show and crying and journaling and doing manifestations to make my ex have dreams about me every night and be tortured by thoughts of me. You could be in that category, or you could be in the category of like, we just bought a house, we're engaged, we're hoping to be pregnant within the next year. And I commend everyone and anyone, no matter what path you're on, you are doing the best you can do. And being in your 20s is fucking hard. Excuse my French, but that it is what it is. That should be the moral of this podcast, the moral of the story. Being in your 20s is so confusing, chaotic, transformational, challenging, rewarding. And it really is that one decade in life where you change astronomically from like 20 to 22, 22 to 25, 25 to 27. And I feel like after that, like your 30s onwards, you still obviously are growing and changing and evolving, but I think it's a little less drastic. A lot of people, especially women, say once they kind of hit 30, they really feel like they know who they are, they know their own voice, they're comfortable in their own skin. And your 20s is just like a change room of men, of experiences, of identities, of jobs. You're just going in, trying new things, checking it out in the mirror, and you're either taking it home for a while or you're tossing it back on the rack because it doesn't fit you. It's just like this revolving door of change. Not for everybody, but for a lot of people. And I guess I should probably wrap it up into this week's topic, which I wanted to talk about the art of self-awareness. So I believe self-awareness is an art. I believe it is a skill. I believe it is extremely refreshing when you meet someone who is super self-aware and super introspective on who they are, what they want, where they succeed, where they might need to work on themselves, why they do the things they do, what their intentions are. Sorry, I might have to close the door. Darla is out on the patio surveying her kingdom. But now there's a lawnmower, so I think she's gonna, Darla, you're gonna have to come inside, honey. Good girl. She's been doing so well lately, listening. I think she knows mommy is on, come on. Mommy's on the verge of being institutionalized, so she's like, I better be good, or else I'm gonna lose mommy. So I'm finding, probably has something to do with social media. You guys know I blame everything on social media, but social media is literally the root of all evil. I think a lot of people my age, in their 20s, 20-somethings podcast, don't have a lot of self-awareness, don't have a lot of social awareness in general, like how to handle things, how to talk on the phone, how to break up with someone in a classy way, how to navigate situations in a mature way. I think we learned so much about our identity and about how the world works, like through our phones and through computers, that we are not the most well-equipped to walk through life person to person, meet people, develop relationships, trust people. Like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I just think that sort of awareness of how to represent oneself, how to speak of oneself is a bit lost. And I'm talking about myself. Well, I do think I can be quite self-aware for my age. I've been actually told that. That's one of the few compliments that I have received, because I'm just obsessed with diving within my own brain and exploring just who I am and why I am the way I am and what got me here and what random things from my childhood are bubbling up now and influencing why I think this way or why I act this way. What are the thoughts that come into my head when I see a really, really pretty girl on the street? Am I thinking something positive? Am I thinking something really negative? And if I am thinking something negative, why am I thinking that? And how can I change that narrative? So really, to me, self-awareness is just about being in touch with your inner dialogue, your motivations, your intentions, your mistakes, and not being afraid to dig in and be like, okay, that sucked that I did that. Because everyone makes mistakes. Everybody has those days. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Everybody gets that way. And it's right. Hannah Montana said it. Everyone makes mistakes. But the people who separate, like, to me, the mature people from the childish people are the people who can take that mistake, sit with it for a minute, digest it, not only apologize and apologize properly and actually take onus and take authority for the action or the unkind word or whatever happened or the situation, but also people who can understand what happened and why it happened in order to prevent it happening again. People who genuinely want to be better, be kinder, be smarter, be more compassionate, be more intuitive. Why are we even like living if we're not going to better ourselves? I know bettering yourself is exhausting, and I think that's why a lot of people just don't do it. I think a lot of young men, especially, sorry boys, I don't mean to pick on you, but I'm not very happy with your demographic of human being at the minute. I think a lot of young boys especially were maybe not taught or given the tools to look within, to purge emotions, cry, meditate, journal, talk to their friends, talk to a therapist. Unfortunately, I think that is still quite taboo for men to like dive into their emotions and dive into their intentions in that way and think things through super deeply. Likely, they're not going to like what they find. They're not going to want to sit with the consequences of some of their actions. Like, most people don't want to hurt other people or don't want to disappoint other people. That's human nature. If you do want to hurt and disappoint other people, then you maybe are a serial killer. But everyone does that. Everyone hurts and disappoints other people. It's unavoidable. And at the end of the day, everybody is inherently selfish because we're animals at the end of the day. We got to look out for our own well-being, our own survival. But it's how you carry yourself, how you heal your own wounds in order to be kind to the people who come next. If you're just ignoring issues, blowing past issues, ignoring like why you did something, why something ended, why a fight happened, if you're just ignoring all of those things that could be a really deep, interesting, enlightening conversation, maybe with you and someone else, or maybe just with you and yourself, then you're going to keep hurting people. You're going to keep disappointing people. You're going to keep sending mixed signals to people. Hurt people hurt people, as they say. So I think I do have a lot of self-awareness in the sense where I am not afraid to look within. I'm not afraid to express emotion, whether it be on the podcast, through dance, through journaling, through meditating. I literally have cried like every day for the last 4 weeks, and I am just letting myself cry. And I think a lot of self-awareness comes from trusting yourself, like trusting that you know who you are at the end of the day. You're like, okay, well, even if I confront this annoying thing that I did, that I hate that I did, I still know at the end of the day that I'm a good person. I still know at the end of the day that I can lay my head to rest and sleep peacefully because, you know, I confronted that. I dealt with it. I apologized. I tried to make amends as best as I could. I tried to better myself for the next time. I tried to search resources to help me. You know, as long as you're trying in life, as long as you're trying to better yourself and be more self-aware, then I think that's really all you can do. And I think people really appreciate someone who is trying. I mean, obviously, we do live in a culture that's like a little bit obsessed with perfection. not only within looks and how we have all these social media models and everything, but also with relationships and whatnot. Like, we have so many reels and TikToks and music videos and stuff that show these hot and heavy, romantic, passionate, reciprocal relationship where both people are hot and happy and in love. And I do believe that exists for some people. And if it exists for you, I'm so happy yet also a little bit jealous. And please tell me your secrets. Like, what witchcraft did you perform for that to happen? You can DM me. I won't tell anyone. It'll be like our little secret. But most people are not perfect. Actually, everyone's not perfect. But most people are very far from perfect, very flawed, very messy, chaotic energy, lots of trauma, lots of, you know, we have anxious avoidance, anxious attachments, mommy issues, daddy issues. I feel like that is also an outdated term. I don't know. But you guys can get what I'm saying. Everybody's got something. PTSD, OCD, depression, anxiety, eating disorders. I fall under like three of those categories myself. But I know that. And I don't think that defines who I am. I don't think that defines my value as a partner. I don't think that defines my past, present, or future, that I do have an anxiety disorder, that I do have an eating disorder, that I have had a lot of relationship trauma in the past, because I am forever, every day, putting in the work to put that like healing balm on my wounds. I mean, this is obviously metaphoric, but those scars and those wounds are decreasing over time and healing over time because I'm putting in that work and I'm paying attention to it. So I do believe that obviously in some ways I've become more cynical and pessimistic, which I'm also self-aware about, that I also have become a lot wiser and compassionate and deeper, and I can see the nuances and situations instead of just judging something as black or white right from the get-go, like I did when I was younger and I didn't have all this life experience. So there's pros and cons to everything. Like, the more times you get hurt or disappointed or blindsided, the more you do become shut down and pessimistic and grumpy, but also it does make you a lot more wise and compassionate and intuitive with certain things as well. I don't know where I was going with this. Oh, okay. So I wanted to bring it back to the dating topic. So self-awareness within dating is something I have my own little opinion about. I'm personally very upfront from the get-go, maybe not like day one, but like literally date two, date three. I'm pretty open and honest about not so much my flaws, I would say, but just things that are real in my life that are going on that are impacting me, like my anxiety. Maybe, you know, I have a family member who's sick. Like, maybe I'm in between jobs. Like, this stuff happens to everyday real people. It's not really something I think that you should be embarrassed or ashamed of or be hiding. I mean, I guess there are certain things you probably don't want to share if it's like really bad, but I don't really want to waste anyone's time. I'm at that point in my life where I don't need to be dating anyone. I'm happy to spend time with my friends, family, and myself. So if I'm going to go on a date, I would hope that it would be something that's mutually beneficial, something that maybe has a bit of potential to actually go somewhere and have some legs. I don't want to just date someone for 2 weeks anymore. Like, that was fun when I was 18. I just don't really want to do that right now. So I am going to kind of give them a full dose of who Sarah is and what Sarah offers. They're going to see the shiny, sparkly side of me, obviously. I'm going to make them laugh. I'm going to make them, you know, have those big eyes in their I'm going to make them have those big hearts in their eyes. I'm going to make them feel special, because I do have the ability to do that. I feel like I do have the ability to lift people up and make people laugh. But I'm also going to be real about maybe what my expectations are, maybe a few things that I've gone through in the past that have influenced what I'm looking for or why I'm the way I am, maybe some struggles in my life that I'm currently overcoming. Again, you don't want to like pile it on. But if a man, maybe it's different. I'm sure there are double standards for men and women with this type of stuff, because women are often deemed like overly emotional, overly attention seeking, et cetera, et cetera. Just like give us more attention and be more in tune with your emotions, and then it would just be fine. But no, it's our fault. It's always our fault. Anyway, we're not getting into that conversation today. But if a man on a date were to be like, yeah, I mean, I've just found lately that I've really been feeling pretty anxious, and I've just been doing a lot of journaling to kind of understand why that's happening, and it's a little upsetting, but I'm going to do what I can to feel better, and I'm going to try to learn from it, and like, I would be so turned on. I'd be like, clean up on aisle 5. Like, maybe he's, like, this man is paying attention to himself. This man is being compassionate with himself. This man is not scared to admit that he has some sort of downfall, like he's unsure of what his next step is, or he has anxiety, or he's still recovering from a breakup. Like, I would be less afraid to express my own vulnerabilities with that person. And this goes for a friendship, family, any sort of relationship. I feel like if you expose a little bit of vulnerability and self-awareness within yourself, that you're demonstrating someone that you've shown yourself compassion, that you've navigated some of these issues within yourself in the past, that person feels probably a lot more comfortable and a lot more safe discussing these topics with you. And maybe that is why I'm such an open book. I do think a huge part of it, I mean, I do like getting people's reactions and stuff when I tell them the crazy stuff that happens to me. Like, I do find that entertaining. I do like sharing stories and just storytelling in general. But I also genuinely really like to make people feel seen and heard and safe. Because I've been through the gamut. I haven't been through that much compared to a lot of other people, and I completely recognize that. But within my own context and frame of reference in life, I feel like I've been through some stuff that has embarrassed me, hurt me, blindsided me, confused me, challenged me. But I guess what I'm trying to say is I think self-awareness is a very attractive attribute, not only for a dating scenario, but friendship scenarios, just anything. I think someone who is real and raw and honest about who they are, what their intentions are, that attracts authenticity within other people. That brings open this safe space for someone to come forward and be themselves in their presence and to have real dialogues about real human things and not feel like there's going to be some sort of judgment or harsh critiques all the time. Part of self-awareness is realizing that you're just as flawed as the next person. You're just as chaotic as the next person. You're just as toxic as the next person. Everyone expresses this stuff in different ways. Everybody hides certain things and potentially flaunts other things. But at the end of the day, we're most of us. I mean, there's the odd exceptions out there that are just truly pieces of shit. But most of us are out here just doing our best and just trying to make the right decisions, trying to follow our heart, trying to navigate the constant dialogue between our head and our heart, and then all of the influence and all of the stimulation and all of the fucking crazy advice we're getting from TikTok and Instagram and YouTube and our friends and our family. It is a lot of outside and inside influences to be navigating. And I think, a very self-aware person who's always looking within, who's always asking myself questions. And even I am so confused all the time about what's right, what's wrong, what I should be doing with my life, what I should be looking for in a relationship, because I'm hearing and comparing all of these different interpretations. But at the end of the day, all of these people shouldn't be giving a ginormous statement of advice that's applicable to every single person on planet Earth, because that's not realistic. What people should be advising is that each individual person watching this, reading this, does work within themselves, finds ways to find peace within themselves, finds ways to heal their own burdens, their own trauma, their own hurts, so that they're not propagating that into further damage. And if we all just did a little bit more to heal ourselves, like maybe everyone meditated once or twice a day, the world would be a very different place. If everybody, you know, ate healthier and ate less sugar and stayed away from drugs and alcohol, the world would be a much healthier, happier place. I'm not trying to get all like Gandhi up in here. I understand like drugs are kind of fun sometimes under the right safe circumstances. Alcohol can be fun. Eating McDonald's is one of my great joys in life. But I'm able to do all of that in moderation and find balance and find peace within myself. And that has taken years and years and years of work to not use something as a crutch, whether that be junk food or like one thing I'm personally working on right now, which is something that I've been finding through this process of improving my self-awareness, looking back at past experiences and finding things that patterns that are repetitive or reactions that I consistently have when something bad happens. You know, where do I, when I feel wounded, when I feel rejected, what do? Where do I go? Who do I go to? What am I looking for? And you notice oftentimes, if you were to ask yourself those questions, that there are patterns and there are, and they're probably not super healthy, to be honest. And I'm still doing them, but at least I know that they're not the healthiest thing in the world. Maybe you run to the bar and get fucked up with your friends. Maybe you crawl back into your ex's bed. Maybe you cut off all your hair. Maybe you go get a new tattoo. No judgment here, guys. 20-somethings podcast is a judgment-free zone. I'm just giving examples that will maybe spark this concept in your brain of like, oh shit, I do that. And I'm not saying you have to stop, but it's just probably a good idea to ask yourself why and what am I getting out of it? And is it actually helping me feel better? Is it actually helping me grow? And for me, I'm constantly seeking validation, but specifically, I think probably male validation, and then specifically like romantic or sexual validation at that. I mean, my dad and brother could compliment me all day long, and I like, and they are boys, they are males, and I would be like, thanks. But then like a guy that I had a crush on in high school could like call me pretty and I'd be on cloud nine, you know? So just feeling, for me, I do feel this need to be validated, desired, chased after, wanted from men. And when I don't receive that for whatever reason, I feel very inclined to go find it from another guy. Even it's almost like a quick fix. It's like you feel in withdrawal and you feel like there's something wrong with you and you feel like you're damaged or you're unlovable or you're not as sexy as you used to be or whatever. And so you're like, okay, well, this guy didn't tell me that I'm great, so I'm gonna go on a dating app and get this guy to tell me I'm great who I don't even know. Again, actually like a pretty normal reaction, but why can't I find that validation within myself to just truly be like, I'm not the issue here. That guy running away with his tail between his legs, or that guy ghosting me, or that guy screwing me over, that is on him. That is his deal. That is his lack of self-awareness, his lack of self-work, his lack of honesty, not only within himself, but his honesty with me. And that's on him. It has no bearing and no reflection on me as a human being, my worth, my value, my beauty, my humor, all these amazing things I have going for me. They do not get degraded because one guy didn't have what it takes, so to speak, to love me back or to compliment me or to validate me or to give me what I want. So I'm just trying to say certain mantras, do certain meditation practices. I put a little photo of myself as a little kid up on the mirror in my bathroom. I actually got this idea from Kendall Jenner, mental health icon. But yeah, she was like, it's pretty hard to say horrible, degrading things about yourself when you're looking at that cute, adorable 4-year-old version of yourself. Like, she does not deserve to be spoken to that way. She is an angel on earth. She is a gift to earth. And why now all of a sudden, 20 years later, do I feel like I can talk to myself with zero compassion, zero love, zero hope. So that's been a really good practice for me that I've adopted in the last few weeks in terms of developing that self-validation, that self-love. I've been complimenting myself every chance I can, just in the mirror, like, you look really good today, Sarah, like, your body's banging, like, you have such great friends, like, you're, you know, just trying to hype myself up, trying to validate myself that I'm doing okay, I'm on the right track, I am beautiful, I am funny, I am smart, and I don't need a guy with a penis between his legs to make that real for me. I appreciate compliments from men, don't get me wrong. Compliments are welcome from anyone and everyone all day, every day. But at the end of the day, true sustainable self-awareness and self-love does come from finding that validation and that consistent validation and that consistent dialogue of compassion and growth within yourself. Like, you are not going to have any sustainable long-term change with your mental health if you're constantly seeking outside hits of distractions, validation, attention. You know, it'll help intermittently, but it's not going to, I mean, it's just, it's all a band-aid, right? When the wound is deep, like your soul, your spirit, your heart, you gotta go deep. You gotta go deep. And I know it sounds scary. And I know people are so scared of being honest about their flaws, their shortcomings, their mistakes, their issues. But I just think we need to break that stigma a little bit, because every single person is a walking red flag. I say this all the time, like, we all are. And if you're not, then you are either like truly the epitome of self-awareness, amazing mental health practices, amazing choices in life. Like, I want to be your mentee. I want to learn from you. Mentee, is that a word? Apprentice? I don't know. But most people, if you had relationships, if you've had friendships, if your parents divorced, if you, whatever, you know, we know the statistics on sexual abuse. We know the statistics on relationship abuse. We know how many people get bullied in school. We know how many people have eating disorders. Like, it's not an uncommon thing for someone to have experienced some sort of awful difficulty or trauma in their life. And you can't expect that person to not deal with the reverberations of that and the ripple effect of that for at least a few years after. Because every person has stuff that they have not yet worked through or they're trying to work through. And they are not defined by any of that stuff. But I will encourage people, this is all I'm trying to say, when you're ready, when you feel like you've gotten that gust of motivation, or you just don't want to feel this way anymore, you don't want to hurt people anymore, or whatever it is, I will encourage people to try to do little things every day to look within and heal yourself, so you can be better for other people that you care about, but also for yourself. And it's not as horrible and scary as it might sound. The human brain is a fascinating place, and I happen to really love mine. You know, call me a narcissist all you want, but I'm fascinated with the way I behave, the way I think, the way I talk, the things I remember, the things I don't remember. All of this is extremely fascinating to me. And I want to learn more about myself. I want to be a sage when it comes to Sarah, because how am I going to get through this life otherwise, to be honest? Life is so hard. Life is so confusing, and people are not reliable, to be quite honest. Everybody's on their own journey. People come and go. So you really just have to be compassionate and patient with yourself and prioritize your self-love first, and building up that self-awareness and building up that confidence of like, this has happened to me before. This is how I handled it last time. But now this time I have the steps, because I've done the work, because I've seeked out the resources, I have the steps to avoid that happening again. And it's a great journey. Actually, it's not great. It's kind of hard and icky and sad. And there's so many bloody train. There's always a train when I podcast. It's not really that fun and glamorous, to be honest. But the end result, are you kidding me? It's like it knows. It has a sixth sense of when I'm trying to share my wisdom with the podcast universe. God, no consideration. It's not a fun, beautiful journey all the time. It can be, but it can also just be like I bawled on the floor today in a pile of laundry, bawled, sobbed, heaved. My dog, my sweet baby Darla, running around, like my body terrified, like clawing at me, jumping on me because she thought I was dying. And that was just a few hours ago. And now look at me, bouncing back, being resilient. But that episode that happened, I'm not going to ignore that. I'm not going to pretend that didn't happen. I'm not going to be ashamed of that. I'm not going to be embarrassed of that. I'm going to give myself compassion because I have been through a lot and I've been tested a lot the last few weeks, and it caught up with me. And I feel a lot fucking better after I bawled on the floor like a child. But now the next step is up to me. You know, am I going to keep having a meltdown every day? Or am I going to go do things that are good for my soul, good for my brain? Am I going to just choose a better path for myself? And some days are easier than others, but emphasis of the episode is that as long as you're trying, you're doing more than a lot of other people are doing. And as long as you are improving, that's all you need. You don't need to be perfect. You don't need to hit this end goal. There's no timeline. There's no rush. Just as long as you're improving, you're taking baby steps forward, then you should be really proud of yourself. And I know I'm super proud of myself. I am such a more mature, like self-aware woman than I was a few years ago. And when I look at where I was at a few years ago versus now, I've made tremendous progress. If you look at it from a larger scope, you really can see progress. If you look at yourself from 16 versus now, you'll see amazing progress. I'd be like so amazed if I told myself when I was 16, like, you're going to have a podcast, you're going to have a YouTube channel, you're going to travel the world, you're going to live in BC, you're going to have a beautiful puppy, you're going to have all these amazing boyfriends that are all sexy but break your heart. I'd be like, yeah, that tracks. That the boyfriend thing, that tracks. Yeah, so I'm just playing. But honestly, I'm just out here doing the damn thing and trying to share some of my issues and my worst moments so that you don't feel potentially like you're crazy or like you can't talk about it or like you shouldn't feel the way you're feeling. I've felt it all. I've done it all, and it sucks sometimes. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. And some days you're going to be like, I'm not doing any fucking self-work today. I'm going to lie on the couch, watch Dexter, and stuff my face with Oreos. But in a way, that is a form of self-love if that's what you need that day. And paying attention to that and listening to yourself and knowing when you should push yourself and when you should not push yourself, that's all part of it. So yeah, I hope that was somewhat helpful and I didn't offend anyone. This age, it is hard to be a podcaster in this age we live in where I feel like I'm going to get canceled for anything I say. But I really, like, mental health is always a tricky thing to talk about, and I really do approach it with the mentality of, like, we are all in this together. We are all damaged, but we're also all amazing and perfect. We just have to use the tools we have to overcome the things we've been through, and that's all you can do at the end of the day. So if you did enjoy this episode, I actually recorded the whole fucking thing. I'm thrilled. It should be up on YouTube, and I will post little TikToks and little reels of clips, hopefully to just garner a little bit more interest in the podcast. Numbers are climbing. Every once in a while, I bump into someone at Starbucks or something who's like, hey, I listened to your podcast, which is literally the coolest feeling in the entire world. And this is my dream. This is my passion. And I feel so much better even today having done this. Like, it just got me out of my negative headspace. So please, please, please share this with somebody, a friend, a family member, whoever. Or share another episode in the past that you preferred or whatever. I don't care what you do. Just sharing any attention to the podcast really would help me. Maybe taking a little screenshot, put it on your story, or even just leaving a rating and review or subscribing on YouTube. It should just be my name, Sarah Birch. I'm like recycling my old dance YouTube channel and just like also adding podcast stuff on there. So it's a bit confusing, but it'll probably have dance stuff and podcast stuff on there. It is what it is. I'm a multimedia creative mogul out here. You can follow me on TikTok, 20-somethings pod. You guys know the deal. But really, I don't care if you follow me. I just want you to, well, I do care a little bit, but I just want you to take something from what I've said and feel some sort of relief and some sort of self-love and some sort of clarity that Sarah literally has had more rejections and more mental breakdowns and been bamboozled more times than anyone else on this earth. And she's still kicking. And she is still showing up with her hair curled, her eyeliner on, her plant. And she's doing the damn thing. So if she can do it, if she can survive all of that, I can too. I'm just out here sharing my trauma so we can all trauma bond together. Okay, guys. I love you. I'll be back next week. I'm sending you positive vibes, and please send me positive vibes because I need them. Okay. Bye.